Father, once again, I thank you for this room, you know, and we just bless you. And as always, we know the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now let the Lord be glorified in the message of the Lord. And let the people of God be inspired to greater heights this morning in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And let every one of us be a son or daughter of encouragement every day. I love to be an encourager. You know, be an encourager. Have a word in your heart and in your mouth that will bless somebody all the time. You know, Colossians 4 and 6. Let your words be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man. And before I get into the stuff that I will be dealing with this morning, let me tell you a quick story, which of course you also know in the Bible, you know, the story of Joseph. But the part I want to talk about is the word of encouragement that was in his mouth when he was in the prison. And every day he looked at, you know, the baker and the butler, they were good every day, you know, and until one day their countenances were falling and they were sad, you know, and Joseph, you know, was sensitive to that, And that's, you know, that caring nature, that sensitivity was what eventually led him to the throne, even though it took over two years for the other guy to remember him. But it was his sensitivity, because Joseph came into them that morning and said, why look you so sadly today? I mean, every day, you know, we've been talking here and everything looking good. But today, I see that there your countenances are falling. You are saddened. There's something in your heart. You know, what's on your mind? Why do you look so sad today? And because he cared about what the other person was going through, just by looking at their faces and being concerned, he began to, you know, ask them. Well, they eventually told him, well, you know, last night we had a dream, you know, and so forth. And this dream, and they were confused, you know, and then, you know, the rest of the story. But it all started with, why look you so sadly today? You know, so let's be sensitive around us, on your job, in your neighborhood, wherever you are, in the marketplace, school, anywhere. You know, be sensitive to the needs of the people around you. You know, just a word of encouragement to them, you know, can make, you know, a big difference. It can cause a shift, like that. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, are you fired up? And are you ready to go? It's a good thing to be fired up like this in the mornings, you know, and I want to just sing a couple of verses out of Psalm 92, and then we're going to get going. Psalm 92, verse 1. It is a good thing to give thanks unto God, to show forth his loving kindness in the morning and his faithfulness every night. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High God, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. By praising him often, you will be covered with a bright Shekinah glory. Let us pray. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So today is a day of encouragement. It is not a day of, you know, black clouds, you know, and long blowing of the shofar in a way that is announcing doom. No, this is a blowing of joy. It's an encouragement room this morning. Hallelujah. And I'm going to bring the word of encouragement to us this morning. And also an admonition for us to patiently wait on the Lord. So today's room, and we're going to use that for our prayers today, it is just around the corner. That's right. It's just around the corner. You know, and, you know, sometimes, you know, people hurry off and get discouraged, grumble, and turn away when the miracle is just around the corner. And sometimes also, instructions that God gave us are just around the corner. And when we are too impatient, we don't wait. You take the matter into your hands and it doesn't work out. I'm going to tell you some of those stories in the Bible today, you know, and the Bible always likes to say, and it shall come to pass. So it will come to pass. It will come to pass, you know, and it will definitely come to pass. Whatever the Lord has spoken will come to pass. Let's take a minute and share the room if you haven't shared it yet, because we're about to get into the word. Share the room, put it on your, share it on Clubhouse, that'll put it on your hallway, and then invite a few folks into the room. Just click on any ones that are green, you know, and just click on them, whether they come or not. That's okay. But if they come and they get a blessing, then you get a reward. You know, praise God. Hallelujah. You know, so we know that in the Bible, when Jesus calling his disciples, say Andrew first findeth his brother Peter. And then, you know, he brought Peter to the Lord. So if you find something, and look at all the great things that Peter eventually did, you know, so. You know, Andrew gets a benefit for that because he is the one that brought Peter to the Lord. So if you bring somebody into a room and they are blessed, then you get the blessing. There's a day coming when the Lord, you know, would set things of reward in order. You know, he said, I will make you a crown of glory in my hand, said the Lord, and royal diadem. Oh, in the hands of the Lord, those little pearls that he will put in your crowns. You know, every time that your encouragement brings a shift in somebody's life for the better, you get a reward for it. That's exactly right. You know, when men are cast down, it says, thou shouldest say that there is a lifting up. You know, that means when people are down, we need to be encouraging them to let them know that there is a lifting up. You know, that's a twofold meaning there. It also means when others are down, you will be up because the Lord is with you. But also it means this thing that I'm talking about here, that, you know, when the, when things are bad all around for people, you need to be telling them, look, you know, there can be a lifting up, and let's use an opportunity to put in a good word for the Lord everywhere we go. You know, let's have an opportunity. I mean, when the opportunity comes, let's seize it, you know, to give praise and glory to God. Job chapter 22, you know, and verse 29. When men are cast down, then thou shalt say that there is a lifting up, and he shall save the humble person. My goodness. And if God does that through your hands, you get a blessing for it. So today we're talking about just around the corner. There will be some good lessons. Well, all the lessons are good, but, you know, some good results and maybe some not so good, because, you know, they didn't wait. So I'm just going to bring it all out so you can see both sides, you know, of when God is just around the corner and what we must do. You know, the psalmist, he said in Psalm 40, he said, I waited patiently for the Lord. You know, waiting patiently. That's something that many of us find hard to do. Be honest. You know, we find hard to do waiting patiently for the Lord. You know, sometimes we wait, sometimes we run off, you know, and, you know, sometimes we wait, but because of the long wait, we get weary and then we run off. You know, just like the scripture says, the long hope wearies the heart. You know, people get weary and then they run off. And then sometimes we're waiting. God has given instructions, but then, you know, we get tired of waiting. And so we take the law into our own hands or take matters into our own hands. And that may not always work out well. So let's consider some stories here in the Bible. And we're going to use, some of these to pray. But I have a powerful declaration for everyone here this morning. You know, the first thing that we understand, you know, that as we have been saying in these rooms, all the time since we opened this room is that, you know, God has already given us a promise beginning this month in Genesis 8 and 5 that it is just within reach. That's right. The tops of the mountains are now seen and it's just within reach. You know, so, you know, make no tarrying, oh my God, you know, he said. But Jesus said, look, even if he tarry, wait for it. Before I get into some of these stories in the Bible, I want you to think about that for just a minute. Think about the times that you may have been a little impatient. Do you know that this is the reason why a lot of people get into trouble in, choices they make? Believers, you know. The reason why believers will run to an unbeliever for help. The reason why we go to the world for help. Because we're not patient. God has given instructions of how to get healing. God has given instructions on how to get blessings. But when we're not patient, we run off, you know, and all that, you know. So, you know, we need to patiently wait for the Lord. And you don't know, you know, it may be just around the corner, you know. Now, I personally believe that even though the Lord put that story of Abraham there for our benefit, you know, how he patiently waited for the promise, I still think that, you know, he should have waited a little bit longer, you know, and not try to take matters into his hands. But he did take matters into his hands, you know, and when his wife came and said, look, I'm getting old. Now, this promise and so forth, I don't know about that. You know, you go in onto my wife, oh, Hagar, over here. You know, and maybe I'll have a child by her. Well, that was not the word of the Lord. That's not what the Lord said. Should have just waited, you know, because he was just around the corner. You know, I mean, you waited enough. I mean, sometimes we wait maybe 3 months, then we get discouraged, but maybe it was just around the corner. Sometimes we wait a couple of years and then we get discouraged, but maybe it was just around the corner. And all these problems we have in the world today, Arabs versus the Jews and all the Arab nations versus Israel and all of these things, perhaps could have been avoided, you know, if Abraham had just waited just a little longer. Just a little longer. You know, never try to organize God's promise and try to work something out on your own. He does not work like that. Let's pick up this story. I'm going to tell you the story of the children of Israel. I love reading their stories because there's many, many lessons. You know, in the book of Exodus chapter 15, we start out with Moses singing the song of victory to the Lord because of what the Lord had done for them. you know, how he got rid of all their enemies in the Red Sea drama. So we all know that story. So that, but that's not the part of my story this morning. The part of my story that I want to talk about is actually towards the end of that chapter. You know, so many things that the Lord had done for them, but I want to call this out. There are many things that the Lord did for them, right? The Lord, you know, delivered them from Egypt with many, with a high hand, the Bible says, with a high hand. He showed them incredible miracles. I mean, you know, not even a tongue would wag its tongue at them, you know, not even a dog would wag its tongue at them. Whereas, you know, the people on the other side were falling like fleas. I mean, creative miracles, calling out lies, calling out frogs, you know, darkness upon the land while they had light, you know, everybody, you know, all of these things. And when the destroyer, the slayer came, you know, because they, you know, followed the instruction, they put the blood upon their doorpost, God saved everyone in their house. And I guarantee you, if any Egyptians had run into one of those homes that had the blood, even though that Egyptian was a firstborn, and God has said, I'm going to slay all the firstborn this night. If any firstborn Egyptian had run into any of those Jewish homes, you know, if they had let him in and the blood was there, he would have been saved. The destroyer didn't come near any of those homes. Now that tells you, you know, how you could be a shield unto others because of the blessing that's on your life, you yourself, the blessing of protection. You can be a shield even to others, but they didn't do it. And all those, you know, so the God destroyed them all the Egyptians, their firstborn, whether it's man, cattle, everything. But he saved all the children of Israel. Nothing touched them. And despite all those miracles that they saw, even, you know, to capstone it all, the parting of the Red Sea, my goodness. And they going over on dry land, whereas their enemies are saying to do the same, were destroyed in it. After all of that, the people would still murmur against the Lord. Wow. So we'll pick up the story at verse 22 of Exodus 15. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness. Now, by this time, you know, they are all very weary. They've been walking, you know, for many days and many miles. They're all weary. You know, their supplies ran out. There was no water. And then, you know, then they came to Marah. And they found some waters there. But they couldn't drink it because it was bitter. You know, and it was like, ugh. You know, it was, you know, and it reminded them of when, you know, God turned the waters of Egypt to blood. And those guys, nobody could drink it. It's like, ugh. You know, they couldn't drink this thing. You know. So they called it Marah because it means bitter waters. But my goodness, God can turn those bitter waters to sweetness. And so the people murmured against Moses, saying, where shall we find drink? You know, where? In their hearts, they had it to hear with Moses. But Moses cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And when he had cast, you know, the tree into the waters were healed. They were made sweet. Then he made a statute to them and an ordinance. You know, so this was a test and thing that the Lord was doing to these people to see if they will continue to believe the Lord, even in the face of difficulties. After God has shown many miracles and this new challenge comes up, will you continue to believe? Or will you murmur against the Lord? Yeah. And then, you know, Moses told them this incredible verse, which we always read. And he said unto them, you know, by the word of the Lord, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God and do that which is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep his statutes, all of them, then I will put none of these diseases upon you which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. But look at the next verse. The next verse is really where we are going. You know, this place called Elim was just around the corner from Mara. But the people didn't know it. So when they came to Mara, and there's always roadblocks along the way. When they came to Mara because of the bitter waters, they grumbled and murmured against Moses and the Lord. You know, but at Elim, just around the corner, God had prepared for them 12 wells of water. 12! I mean, it was like, how do you get wells in the water, in the wilderness? But God had prepared it. And it was like, wow. You know, there were 12 tribes of Israel and God had prepared these wells. I mean, there were 10 palm trees there. There were all kinds of things. They were able to camp around it. They could eat, you know, from the palm trees. They could drink from the wells. You know, it was amazing. You know. But just the other day, they were grumbling because they couldn't see what was just ahead. And this is a remarkable story. You know, that when the blessing is just ahead, that's the time, most of the time, that people give up, start grumbling, start complaining. Well, because we don't have a timeline. We don't know the timeline, you know. And so because we don't know the timeline, you know, we think, oh, well, we don't know what's going to happen. Maybe tomorrow will be just as bad as today. But why? why can't we think that tomorrow is going to be a better day? You know, and I'll tell you one more story, then I'll tell you about tomorrow. So there's another story here. Didn't turn out too well for this guy. You know, the story is in 1 Samuel chapter 13. Didn't turn out, you know, too well for him. So in this story, the Philistines had gathered to fight with Israel. You know, 30,000 chariots and all that, we're told in, I'm picking up this story from 1 Samuel chapter 13. You know, Saul gathered all these people together. Saul was king at the time. But the Philistines came against them with 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand of the sea. You know, I mean, they just brought a whole multitude. You know, so they came up and they pitched in this place called Michmash. You know, and it was from, you know, eastward from Beth Aven. So when the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, you know, they had nowhere to go. The people were all distressed. You know, then they began to hide themselves in caves, in thickets, in rocks, and high places, and in pits, and all of that. You know, and some of the Jews and Hebrews, you know, went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. And as for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. You know, but meanwhile, you know, Samuel had sent him word, and he tarried 7 days. You know, the set time that Samuel had told him, you know, Samuel was going to come, you know, and Samuel was the prophet, you know, and every time Samuel appeared, you know, well, it was either good news or something else, you know, but, you know, when they were in this distress and Samuel said he's coming, you know, I mean, there was hope in the hearts of the people, you know, that oh, Samuel is coming. I mean, we will hear the word of God. God will show us how to get rid of these our enemies, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's all in their heart. You know, there's just hope. But Samuel said, yet 7 days and I will be there. And Samuel wasn't going to come tomorrow, yeah, but he's going to come in 7 days, you know, yet 7 days and I'll be there. You know, but Saul said, well, he tarried the 7 days. He did actually, according to the time that Samuel had appointed. But when Samuel came, not on that seventh day, all the people began to depart from Saul. Well, you told us Samuel was coming. Now, where is he? So it's like everybody scattered from him. You know, they just say, you know, you told us Samuel's coming. I've been hanging in here for 7 days. You told us you'll be here. And this is day seven. And he's not here. You know. And then Saul decided to take matters into his hands. He said, well, bring me hither a burnt offering to me and a peace offerings. And then he offered a burnt offering, which the king should never do. God had this triple crown ministry to the Jews: priest, prophet, and king. But the king could not be the priest. The priest could be the prophet. The prophet could be a priest. But the king could not be the priest or the prophet. And he overstepped his boundary here because he couldn't wait. Now listen to this next verse. This is the story. This is where the punchline for this story is at. You know, this is verse 10 for Samuel 13. And it came to pass, you know, that just as soon as he had made an end of the offering, the burnt offering, that behold, Samuel came. Wow. If he had just waited a little longer, just a little longer, you know. But Samuel told him 7 days, and on the seventh day, the day hadn't quite finished yet. You know, but on the seventh day, you know, he was in a hurry. He was impatient. And he did something that would cost him everything. Everything. You know, he took matters into his hands. And it cost him everything. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. And Samuel said unto him, you know, Samuel was a prophet. He already discerned it. And he said, you know, what hast thou done? And Saul said, well, you know, Saul always liked to make excuses. You know, well, because I saw that all the people were leaving me, and you did not come within the days that you appointed, and the garrisons of the Philippines were gathered against me at Michmash. You know, so, you know, therefore I said, well, the Philippines are going to come down now upon me to Gilgal, you know, and I have not yet made my supplication unto the Lord. Why could you not have made your supplication unto the Lord? You didn't need Daniel, you know, you didn't need Samuel now to make supplication. You know, that's another problem, you know, with people. They're always waiting, you know, you have to wait for, you know, somebody to make supplication on your behalf. You could have made supplication on your own, and the Lord would have reminded him, you know, hold on, Samuel is on the way. You know, but, you know, he didn't want that relationship with God directly. Oh, it was everything through Samuel. And then if that's what you wanted, then wait for it. But he wouldn't do it. You know, so, and then he said, I forced myself, therefore, and I offered a burnt offering. So he took matters into his hands. But Samuel was just around the corner. He had just waited, but he didn't wait. And Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. You know, because the Lord commanded him, you know, to wait for Samuel. But he didn't. You know, and now, you know, you're going to lose everything because of that disobedience. My goodness. You know, and it was all because he wouldn't wait just a little longer. You know, it was just around the corner. But he didn't wait. But now thy kingdom, you know, God would have established your kingdom forever if you had kept his commandment. You know, but now thy kingdom shall not continue. For the Lord has sought him a man after his own heart, you know, that would do the commandment of the Lord. And the Lord had commanded him to be captain over his people because you have not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. Wow. And then you know the rest of the story. It was just around the corner, folks. But he couldn't wait. Wow. You know, and he lost everything because of it. Let's fast forward to the to Luke chapter 18. Jesus, he began to tell them, you know, some stories here, you know, and begin to encourage them to the intent that they ought always to pray and not to faint. That means, you know, always don't give up, because the victory might be just around the corner. You know, he told them the story of the judge who feared not God, neither regarded man. This woman who came and was always pleading with him, I avenge my case and everything. And he didn't for a while. But after a while, I said, look, this woman is going to weary me to death unless I get rid of her. You know, and the only way to get rid of this woman, because the woman was not going to turn loose. You know, after pleading with him enough one day, she didn't, the man did not respond. She came back next day and the next day and the next day and the next day. You know, so he said, okay, fine. You know, let's do for her what she wants, you know, to get rid of her. He told that story. And the, Jesus said, look, hear what the unjust God judge said. You know, said, this woman troubles me. If I don't avenge her, she's going to weary me out. You know, even though he didn't really care about her cause. So anyway, Jesus said, look at what the unjust judge said. And he said, shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto them, though he be along with them? You know, I tell you, verse 8 is where I'm going in this lesson. I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Now, it's speedy in the eyes of God. It may not be speedy in your eyes. But Jesus put something remarkable out here. Nevertheless, now you've been praying, you've been holding on to God, have you been believing God? You know, I don't know how long it is, 1 day, 1 week, 3 weeks, 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, even multiple years. We don't know how long it is, but Jesus said he will avenge. He's coming. But he said, look, when I finally show up, but when the Son of Man finally shows up, when he finally shows up, will you still be at the point of faith? Or would you have run off? You know, this is the lesson here this morning. That's the way I read that verse. You can read it as, oh, when the Lord comes, you know, for the rapture and all that. You know, the rapture is many days hence. You know, so I'm not talking about that today. When the Lord finally gets ready to show up for your situation, will you still be believing? Jesus said, but when I finally show up, will I find faith? Will you still be at the point of faith? Or would you have run off? You know, most people run off when things are just around the corner. That's when they run off. But let me tell you some other stories about tomorrow. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to make some prophetic declaration in this room today about tomorrow. But hold on now. You know, sometimes it's not today. Sometimes it is tomorrow. And what does that mean? Well, tomorrow is just around the corner from today, you know, but it's not today, but it is tomorrow, you know, and that tomorrow may be a little tomorrow, maybe literally 24 hours or less than 24 hours from here. And it may be, you know, a spiritual tomorrow. I don't know. But sometimes it's not today, but it may be tomorrow. But I guarantee you, by the time we get through this room today, God will give you a word for tomorrow. So let's pick up this story in 2 Kings chapter 7. Now, you know, if you've read this story before, there's a lot of things in that story. But I want to pick up the one where, you know, Elisha, you know, what he said because of all the famine that had been in the land and all of that and so forth. You know, the Samaria and everything, and you know, they had the Syrians rather had cut off their water supply and everything like that. And anyway, there's a lot going on. So I leave that part of the story alone, but I want to get on this one. So Elisha, one morning, he stood up and said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord." And everybody came to attention. But they knew he was a man of God. They knew he had a word for the moment, you know. And he said, "Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow." Now that's that word that I'm going to talk about for the next few minutes. Not today, but tomorrow. Why tomorrow? Why not today? You know, I'll tell you in a minute when we get to the next story why that's so. "Tomorrow, about this time, shall a measure of fine flour." Now, there was nothing. Nobody could buy anything. Everything was so scarce. Famine in the place and everything. A dire situation. But he gets up and gives this incredible thing. Statement. "Tomorrow, by this time, same time tomorrow, things will just be so cheap. There will be so flourishing. I mean, people will be buying things almost for free. I mean, there will be so much. I mean, you know, you get 10 times as much, you know, 50 times as much as you could have got it." You know, he gave this incredible prophecy. And this, you know, I said, wow. You know, and I often like to give a story, you know, an illustration that will help us to understand it in the time that we ourselves live in. So, as you are here today, you know, you live in the time when here, you know, in the United States, gasoline prices have gone up so much. I hear that maybe in California, they're up to $7 a gallon or whatever. I don't know. Here in Arizona, you know, we're now at $5 a gallon and all that. There was a time when it was a dollar something, you know. So let's say Elisha was here and let's say gasoline was being sold at $7 a gallon. And even at that $7 a gallon, people were queuing up. I know that, you know, in Nigeria, they have this gasoline crisis all the time. Well, sometimes it may be man-made, maybe artificial scarceness so that they can inflate the prices. But nevertheless, let's assume that that's the situation. So let's use the dollar to explain it. So $7 a gallon is what we're paying gas for right now. And it's even hard to find it. Even at that $7 a gallon, let's say, you have to line up and line up and line up. So let's say Elisha stands up, you know, and say, I just want you to imagine the magnitude of what he said. Let's say he just stands up and say, "By this time tomorrow, gasoline will be sold everywhere for a nickel to the gallon." My goodness. All the way from $7 a gallon to the nickel to the gallon. That's how profound the statement that Elisha made here. Just think of it. You know, I'm just using storytelling here to bring this point out. That's how profound what he said. And this guy said, yeah, this was a lord on, you know, that was right next to the king. It was probably like, you know, I don't know, maybe chief of staff, maybe whatever, you know. But anyway, you know, he answered the man of God and said, "Look, behold, if the Lord," and I don't know why you should use the name of the Lord, "if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be?" Oh, come on now. if you say that to God, you're going to be the one that will lose out. You know, so if God, even if God made windows in heaven, how can such a thing be? I mean, how can we drop from $7 a gallon, you know, to a nickel a gallon just by tomorrow? Where is the supply going to come from? You know, and there was, in the natural, there was no way where the supply was going to come from. So, and the man of God said to him, "Well, You are going to see it with your eyes, but you will not eat the fruit thereof. My goodness. Now, that's not a place that anybody wants to be. When you go up against the word of promise like that, and the prophet says that to you, wow. That's not the place that it should be. The man should have just fallen down on his face and repented right there and say, Lord, have mercy upon me. But he didn't. You know. So, as the story went, we'll see at the end of the story that what Elisha said actually came upon him. But there were four lepers. Remember, Elisha said tomorrow. He didn't say today. Tomorrow. And I'll be talking about tomorrow for the next few minutes. Four lepers that were outside the city. Well, usually those lepers actually, you know, because of their leprosy conditions and so forth, you know, they're outcasts. So they were out of the city and they said within themselves, look, you know, why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter the city, which we shouldn't, but if we do say that, the famine is in the city anyway, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we shall also die here. So there were two things that were known. If you go into the city, you will die. If you stay here, you will die. Those were two things that were known. But there was one unknown factor. And listen to this as I begin to bring out, unpack this story. There was an unknown factor. And the unknown was, well, if we fall to the camp of the Syrians, what will happen? Maybe they will save us alive, then we shall live. And if they kill us, we will die. Well, two things we know. If we go backwards, we're going to die. If we remain here, we're going to die. But let's take a step in this direction. It's an unknown. Let's take a chance. Maybe they will save us. Maybe they won't. In any case, they kill us. It's not any worse than what we're going to face it here anyway. Or even if we went back to the city. So they said, well, let's do that. So they went to the host of the Syrians. They rose up at twilight. Now, that was the next morning. Remember, tomorrow. So they woke up in the morning, very early, and they went to the camp of the Syrians. And when they came to the uttermost part of the camp, in their hearts, it's like, well, maybe they'll kill us, maybe they won't kill us. We don't know, but let's just take a chance. Maybe we'll beg for mercy, maybe they'll take us for slaves. We don't know. But as they got to the place, there was not a single man there. My goodness. There's nobody there. What happened? And the Lord, you know, this is it. You know, and I've spoken on this before in another place when I preached this. I said, look, that it might come to pass. That's another subject line on that one. In order that the word of the Lord might come to pass, there are certain things that God can do and will do to put things into operation. And he can do things that will absolutely blow your mind. It just in order for the word that was spoken to come to pass. So now, in order for the word that Elisha had spoken to come to pass, this is what God had to do here. He took the footsteps of four lepers. They were just four lepers. I mean, you know, and in fact, they were tiptoeing. They were just tiptoeing to that place. Maybe they'll save us alive, maybe not. I mean, their heart was, you know, just beating. But they didn't know whether they would be killed or not. And God magnified, you know, their tiptoeing, their uncertainty as they were walking towards that camp. He magnified it even to the host, to the voice of thunders and hoops and thousands of horses and things like that. As they were coming to the camp of the Syrians, you know, God just magnified this thing. There was a rumbling. It sounded like chariots and horses and different things, hooves and raging chariots coming. But just four lepers are coming. A spirit of hallucination came upon all these people. But God was the one bringing the voice of chariots, horses, you know, hoofs and things like that, and charging army. And these Syrians, they packed up and left in a hurry. Because they said, wow, the king of Israel has hired the kings of the Hittites and the Egyptians and so forth to come upon us. So they ran off. They didn't even have time to gather their stuff. They just ran. Because the noise that they heard, that God put upon their ears to hear, you know, was just incredible. It was the noise of war. It was the noise of chariots and horses and things charging at them. But there was nothing like that. It was just four lepers that were coming. And so they ran off. That the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Elisha, the prophet, might be fulfilled. God magnifies the tiptoeing of four lepers who are afraid to the sound of a host of chariots and thundering and hoofs and horses and things like that. And they ran. And they left everything. Because they didn't have time. And so these lepers got there. Wow. They went into one tent. They began to eat and drink. They went into another one. Eat and drink. They saw gold and silver. They carried some. They went and buried it. They came back. They did some more. And then, I mean, until they were, I mean, just like, wow, this is amazing. And then they said, this is not a good thing for us to keep this to ourselves. Let's go and tell, you know, if we wait until the morning light, you know, this was twilight. The day hadn't fully broken. You know, if we wait until morning light, some mischief might come upon us because we are holding this great news that we see today. So they went and told it to the king's household. You know, so the porter of the city, he went and told them, say, look, they told their story. When we got there, they had fled. There was nothing and so on and so forth. You know, so he called the porters, you know, they told the king's house and all that. The king then arose. You know, it was still night, but it was already the next day, you know. And he said, well, I'm going to show you now what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we are hungry and they set a trap for us. You know, if we go like this, go high, you know, go there, they've hidden and they just come upon us and they'll kill us. So the servant said, look, okay, let's check it out. Send a few folks and go check it out, you know. And then they went and checked it out. Now, in the meantime, by the time they went and came back, it was daytime, you know. So they took two chariots, went to go and see, and they went and searched it out, and it was just like they said. And then when they went, the messengers came and told the king. And all the king people said, wow. So they rushed out to go and spoil the tents of the Syrians. And so a measure of fine flour, they carried out so much, you know, that, I mean, it was only the people that got there late that didn't have plenty. People had so much. I mean, it was just, things were just flowing. So they were selling for so cheap, you know. And so a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel and two measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord by the mouth of his servant Elisha. So in order that this word might come to pass, which he said tomorrow, look at all the things that God did. And it came to pass, you know, as the man of God has spoken to the king, it came to pass exactly like that. And when, the Lord, chief of staff or whoever that was next to the king, you know, the king appointed him, you know, to take charge of the gate because the people were rushing. There was a stampede. And, you know, so as he stood in the gate, wow, the people rushed him down. Nobody was obeying any law. There was just a stampede. And he fell down. The people that were rushing over him trampled him down. And it came to pass exactly as Elisha had said that, look, you will see it, but you won't eat of it because you have not believed the word of God. But back to our storyline today, it was just around the corner. Tomorrow, he said. Not today, but tomorrow. Let me tell you another story about tomorrow, which means it's just around the corner. This is another popular story that we all know in the life of Jehoshaphat. So there was a great multitude that came against Jehoshaphat. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles and 20. They came. There were three countries that came against them. There was Moab, there was Ammon, you know, and then Mount Seir and all these people, they just came against them. So Jehoshaphat feared greatly because of the noise of war, the rumor of war and all of that. But he set himself to seek the Lord and he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. That's always a good thing. So 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 3. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. That's a great thing to do. You know, when you are faced with situation that's beyond your means, it's a good thing to cry out unto the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah, you know, and so forth. And he said, O Lord God, our fathers, art thou not the God in heaven? You know, and do you not rule over the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might? You know, wow. That there is none able to withstand thee. Art not thou our God that didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people? Now, when you begin to tell God all these great things that he has said, the Lord said, you know, put me in remembrance. Declare it again. That we may be justified. Begin to, that you may be justified. Begin to declare all the great things. Are you not the one that done all these great things? And gave it to the seed of thy, you know, Abraham, thy friend forever. And they have dwelt there, built you a sanctuary and so forth. You know, and they said, look, if evil come upon us as a sword, such as today, judgment or famine or pestilence or whatever, when we stand in thy house and we pray, for thy name is in this house, it's still right there. You know, remember Solomon, he prayed that prayer when they opened the temple. And then we cry unto thee in our affliction that, you know, thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, which you would not allow us, you know, so he pleading his cause now. You should have let us destroy them when we pass through. But you said, don't touch them, just pass through. Now, look at what they are doing for us. See how they turned the good that we gave them into evil. You did not allow us to touch them when we passed through the land, you know. But now they have turned, you know, against us. And see how they reward us, he said. They have come to cast us out of thy possession and to disinherit us. You know, they have come to disinherit us from the inheritance of the Lord. You know, will God, oh God, will thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company. You know, but listen to this next sentence. This is great. You know, we know not what to do against them, but our eyes are upon you. Now, that's the beginning of your miracle right there. When you are overwhelmed with whatever it is that's all around you, but if you can turn, not only remind God of all the things that he has done, and you can say, Lord, I don't know what to do against this great company, but my eyes are upon you. Oh, my goodness. You know, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your understanding. Now, if you can put it on the Lord like that, God's going to do something. So they stood there before the Lord with all their little ones and children, wives, everybody waiting. What's the Lord going to do? And the Lord would have mercy upon them. Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, and the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph. He came. I mean, the Spirit of God came upon him, and he stood up in the midst of the congregation. Remember, all Israel had gathered together praying in the house of the Lord. And Jehoshaphat was reminding God, the prayer that Solomon prayed First Kings 8, when they opened that temple and said, look, if when your people are tormented and afflicted, they come in and pray in this place, hear thou from heaven. And he said, we don't know what to do against these people, but our eyes are upon you. And the Lord said, your eyes are upon me. Okay, here's what I'm going to do. And this man, the Spirit of God came upon him, and he said, hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you. I love that. You know, thus saith the Lord. Be not afraid, nor dismayed, by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Ooh, glory to God. Tomorrow, now not today, that's that word again. It's just around the corner, folks. Tomorrow, not today, but tomorrow. Why tomorrow? We'll get to that in a minute. Tomorrow, ye shall go down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and you begin to tell them. You find them at the end of the brook, you know, by the wilderness of Jeruel. But you shall not need to fight in this battle. No, not this one. You know, all you have to do is set yourselves in array, but be standing still. Just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Jews, Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, told them again, and be not dismayed. Tomorrow, not today, go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Now, if they had gone out that day, they would all have been destroyed, because the Lord said tomorrow, just round corner, but not today. Tomorrow, you know, and this is what people should be doing when they hear God's promise that's just around the corner. The people in the days of Elisha, when he prophesied that great miracle that will happen in 2 Kings 7 that we read, they didn't do it, but they should have done it. But God, you know, had mercy upon them anyway, in order for the word of God to be fulfilled. But this is the right way to do it. When the Lord gives you a declaration of tomorrow, and this is the reason why he often says tomorrow rather than today. He gives you time today to worship. Praise God. Gives you time to worship. To worship, because the Lord, you know, there is an expectation in your heart for tomorrow. That is just around the corner. But today, not tomorrow. Today, you worship. Tomorrow, will the Lord do the thing which he has spoken in your ears? That's right. But today, you worship. Today, why it is called this day? Harden not your heart. Begin to worship when you hear the proclamation of the Lord that's just around the corner for you. So Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. You know, when the king is leading like that, all of them would do the same. They follow suit. And all the kings and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, everything, they fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord because of what he said. They haven't seen it yet. But they said, well, this is what the Lord promised. Jehoshaphat believed it in his heart. You know, now not everyone in that bunch of people that were in there believed it, but because they followed suit, the king believed it, you know. And so, you know, the king started to worship and, you know, just praise the name of the Lord. You know, and then, you know, all of the Levites and everything, they stood up to praise the Lord. You know, they begin to give in a loud voice, you know, and so forth. They just begin to rejoice because they heard what the Lord was going to do. Lord said, look, you're not going to need to fight in this battle. The battle is yours. You just go to a certain place and watch and see what the Lord's going to do. So when they rose up early in the morning, they went forth, you know, to the wilderness of Tekoa. And Jehoshaphat stood and said, here, O, you know, in those days, the kings, they led the battle, you know, and he said, you know, here, O Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. And he's going to tell them, look, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe also his prophets, and so shall ye prosper. The word of the Lord already came to us. So let's believe it. That's how we're going to prosper. And he challenged the people. He charged the people to do that. And then he talked to all the people and said, look, you know, give me all the best singers and sons of Asaph and all these people that know how to praise the beauty of holiness. You know, he appointed singers that they should praise the beauty of holiness. And then he said, look, the Lord already said we're not going to fight. You know, the army was already set. The commander of the army said, we're ready. We have a battle plan. Jehoshaphat said, no. The Lord said, you're not going to need to fight in this thing. You know, said, look, all you singers, you know, that know how to dance and praise the beauty of holiness and, you know, sing the hornet and the tambourines and the timbrel and make this praise glorious, you go out in front of the army. And everybody's like, are you crazy? You know, these people are not battle tested. They should be in the back. We should go first. And when we win the battle, then they can praise the Lord. You know, Jehoshaphat said, no. The Lord said, you are not fighting. So let's praise him first. Glory to God. So he put the praisers, he put the singers in front of the army. But that was tomorrow. That was the next day. It wasn't the day before. It was the day appointed by the Lord. You know, and when they went out against them, the Bible says, when they began to sing and to praise, and Jehoshaphat commanded them, you know, you begin to say, praise the Lord for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to do that and just say, praise the Lord, their voices ran out. Praise the Lord for his mercy endureth forever. Praise the Lord. And they are going in anticipation of some great thing that the Lord is going to do, because the Lord said, don't worry about it. I'm going to fight this battle for you. And they're just praising the beauty of holiness. They're just dancing. They're just rejoicing. They're praising God. But they are going towards the battle and they're like, whoa. So Mount Seir, Ammon, and Moab, they stood up, you know, to fight them. But the Lord turned ambushments against them. When they began to praise and to sing, the Lord said ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, you know, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. And how did the Lord do it? You know, he took Ammon and Moab. You know, they colluded together and they began to fight and destroy Mount Seir. Now, when they finished, when they had made an end of destroying Mount Seir, then two of them faced each other and began to destroy the other. And they destroyed themselves. They just wiped themselves out, all that great multitude. You know, my goodness. And the people were just standing the top of those who were in the watchtower. They were looking. And the next thing they saw, dead bodies everywhere. Everywhere. And then Jehoshaphat and his people came and made a spoil of them. So you now see how the Lord, when things are just around the corner, how we need to do. I showed you some stories that were not so good, but I'm showing you the story here that is good. We're ending on this positive note. This is a man that believed God for what God said. And he began to rejoice and began to praise the beauty of holiness and see what the Lord did. Hallelujah. So this should be our posture. This is what we want our posture to be. You know, see what the Lord has promised, or listen to what the Lord has promised. And while you're waiting for it, begin to worship and begin to pray. Don't wait first and say, well, when the Lord does that great thing which he has promised, then I will praise him. No. When you have heard that great thing which the Lord has promised, then you begin to praise him. Praise God. That's what accelerates the miracle in coming to you much more quickly than it would have. So this is our lesson today. And I want to tell you that it's just around the corner. And I will make a declaration today. Just like Elisha did, and just like Jehaziel did here. You know, and yesterday I was in our service on the ground here. And the Lord had told me before that, when I went in there, I said, Lord, what am I going to preach? And he said, well, you're not preaching. You're going to prophesy. Glory to God. And I came in there and said, well, what am I going to prophesy? Well, and he took me to Ezekiel chapter 37. And he said, you prophesy like that. So I got up on there and I read the story and I began to prophesy. Glory to God. Prophesy. You know, and I charged the people, say, when you hear the word of prophecy, begin to praise the Lord. Because that's how it's going to come to pass. Now, people walked out of there. They didn't see it just yet because it was still around the corner. But I guarantee you, it's coming. And if you were there and listen on, don't take matters into your hands. Just begin to worship and just begin to praise the Lord. And the Lord will sometimes do that, you know, to raise anticipation and expectation in our hearts. You know, he may say, you know, it shall come to pass, and it will be some days from the day that he said that. It may be the next day. It may even be years. We don't often know, you know, what the Lord has in mind, but it will always come to pass. Glory to God. And Elizabeth said to Mary, he said, there shall be a performance of those things. Blessed is she that believeth. You know, and I see a lot of sisters and women in this room today. And I say to you, blessed is she that believeth. You know, what the Lord has told her. For there shall be a performance of those things that were told you from the Lord. And to the man also the same thing. Blessed is he that believeth. Jehoshaphat believed. He was a man too. You know, men, women alike. Doesn't make the Lord any difference. Blessed is he or she that believeth. For there shall be a performance of those things which were told you from the Lord. But it's just around the corner. But you got to wait for it. Don't run off now. Because when the Lord finally shows up in your situation, will you still be at the point of faith? So that's our lesson for this morning. And now I'm going to make some declaration. And we're going to pray together. And then I want to hear your comments, you know. And then we're going to see what the Lord will do for us. And you go away from this room today. Remember, it's tomorrow. Tomorrow, you know, spiritually speaking, maybe as soon as you step out of this room, who knows? It may be literally tomorrow, or it may even be sometime this week. It may be next week. It may be next month. I don't know, but it's just around the corner. But that's what the Lord put in my heart to declare this morning. And I pray in the name of the Lord that my voice this morning and anyone in the hearing of my voice, to you, it has been an encouragement that is just around the corner. And I give you charge in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ before this host of witnesses and before the holy angels that thou take these things that have been spoken here this morning. Take them to heart and do not take matters into your own hands. Wait for it. Abraham, because of the voice and pressure from his wife Sarah, took matters into his hands. He was just around the corner. He had waited all these years. You know, he should have just waited a little more. Just a little longer. Look at all the mess we have now today between the Arabs and the Jews. Because he wouldn't wait. You know, when I listened to the voice of his wife, he should have just waited a little longer. Look at the story of Samuel. I'm summarizing now in case you missed these things. You can listen to the replays later on. Samuel. Look at the story of Saul, I want to say. In 1 Samuel chapter 13. Samuel was just around the corner. I told them, yet 7 days and I'll be there. You know. And then Saul got impatient. And on the seventh day, the day hadn't even passed. He said, well, you know. All the people said, well, where is he? You know, and they left. Because they knew that when Samuel came, there would be victory. But they left. They wouldn't wait. And so Saul said, well, okay. You know, I better make this sacrifice on my own. And it was the thing that cost him the throne forever. But took matters into his hands. Folks, This is not the time to take matters into your hands. You know, the hands of the Lord are very capable. You know, now I'm praying first and then I'm going to declare. Lord, I pray this morning, let your word be verified that I have spoken here this morning. That which you have spoken by your mouth, which I have echoed here this morning. Lord, let it be verified in the lives of your people. That which you have spoken by your mouth, let your hand perform it as it is this day in the lives of your people that believe your word in Jesus' name. Even as you have said that the word is given and it shall not return void, but must prosper unto where it is sent and accomplish the purpose for which the Lord sent it. Do your good pleasure in your word unto your people this morning. That you have said, shall not the God of heaven avenge his people that cry unto him day and night? Verily, verily, I say unto you, saith the Lord, he will avenge you speedily. But when I come and I show up in your situation, will you still be at the point of faith? Father, I pray that your people will not be like the children of Israel, whose story we have read this morning. Who, after all those great miracles and a high hand by which the Lord brought them out of the land of Egypt, even making them to cross through this Red Sea as on dry land, the which their enemies trying to do were overthrown in the sea. After all of that, going just a few days in the wilderness without water, began to grumble and to murmur against the Lord. But it was just around the corner. Just around the corner, Lord, you have prepared 12 wells for them in Elam. But they murmured at the waters of Marah just because it was bitter. Yet the Lord turned it into sweetness. Father, in the name of Jesus, make us like Jehoshaphat, who in the day of his trouble turned to the Lord rather than murmuring against God. Who in the days of his trouble cried unto the Lord and reminded God of all the great things that God had done in the past. And while reminding God, he reminded himself. And he said, Lord, we have no might to go up against these people, but our eyes are upon you. And so I pray, I stand in the gap on behalf of everyone that's in this room today and everyone listening. Lord, many times, you know, the things, the situations that overwhelm us, they completely overwhelm us. And we have no might against the situation sometimes. But Lord, our eyes are upon you this morning. And I want you to turn your eyes to the Lord this morning. Turn your eyes to him completely. You know, it is not dead. It's only sleeping. That's right. I said that in the church yesterday. It's not dead. Even though it looks dead, it's only sleeping. And it's just a matter of time. You know, 4 days in the grave and Jesus can still call him out. Because as far as Jesus is concerned, it's not dead, it's only sleeping. There is hope of a tree. The Bible says in Job 14 and 7 that even though it be cut down, there's things that have been cut down in your life. Now I'm going to my declaration. There have been things that have been cut down. There have been discouragement. There have been disappointments. There have been quote unquote failures. But the child of God never fails. Because Deuteronomy 31 and verse 8 says, it is the Lord that doth go with you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He will not fail you. Therefore, be not dismayed and do not fear. For the Lord is with you. He it is the one that has spoken the word of encouragement unto you today. That it's just around the corner. And may your song not many days hence be, see what the Lord has done. See what the Lord has done. What we have waited for has come to pass. See what the Lord has done. That will be your song in the name of Jesus. Not many days hence, but you must hang in there. You must continue to trust the Lord and worship while you're waiting. Praise the beauty of holiness while you're waiting. Exalt him who is the Almighty God. He that is able to do. There is a word in my natural language that says, Alewile she. In other words, when he says it, he can do it. And he also says, Ale she le we. What he said he will do, that he will do. And he will do what he said he will do. He will, you know, do. I mean, the Lord is so powerful like that. When he says it, all we need to do is worship. And for those of you in here this morning, behold, said the Lord, lift up your heads and let not your head be bowed down. For I heard you, the Lord says, in a time acceptable. Glory to God. I have heard you. Glory to God. And it heads unto you today. While you were yet speaking, I heard. And even when the word was in your mouth and in your heart, I heard it too. And behold, I am now come forth. Glory to God. To bring you a swift miracle. And when it starts, saith the Lord, it shall come like a flood. And you shall see it, and you shall praise the name of the Lord your God. And did not God say that my people shall eat in plenty, and they shall praise the name of the Lord? Did Lord God say that the floors and the vats shall be full of wheat and oil? And that my people shall never be put to shame. You will never be put to shame. For it shall come to pass, saith the Lord. And I'm making my declarations now. You believe it, you can receive it, you can put amen in the chat room. For it shall come to pass that as many as call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For the thing which you have waited for, it shall be said of you, has come to pass. Ooh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know how long you've been waiting. You know, I don't know how much longer you got to wait, but it is tomorrow by the word of the Lord. It's just around the corner. You know, God wants you today, when you hear his voice, use today to worship. Use today to praise the name of the Lord as you wait for the breakout tomorrow. Glory to God. And I prophesied emergence to the people yesterday. I said, it's time for you to emerge. You know, it's time for the dry bones to come together again. And the Lord said, prophesy. And I did. He commanded me. And he said again, prophesy. First prophesy upon the bones. And then prophesy to the wind. You know, and I prophesy even upon some dry bones here today. In the name of the Lord, hear the word of the Lord, bone to bone, flesh to flesh, come back together in the name of Jesus. Then I prophesy, I turn unto the winds, and I say this morning, come from the four winds and blow upon this bone, and let there be breath in them. God will energize your dead dreams. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. The hopes and aspirations of your heart before the Lord today, they are already alive. Nothing is dead before him, just sleeping. In the words of Romans chapter 4 and verse 17, I prophesy this morning that God who raises the dead will command for you things out of nothing. He will bring things out of nothing. And he will set things in order. And in the name of the Lord, I prophesy today. Because the Bible says in the words of Isaiah chapter 44, that I am the Lord, you know, that frustrates the tokens of liars. Glory to God. You know, I want to prophesy and frustrate the tokens of liars today. All the lies that the enemy has told you that you can't make it. It cannot be done. You are broken and you are finished. That's what the enemy would like you to believe. But the Lord said, it is I that doth go before thee. You know, I will not fail you and I will not forsake you. Therefore, be not dismayed and do not fear. You know, the Lord says, I am he that frustrated the tokens of liars. I made diviners to be mad and I turned backwards, even wise men. Glory to God. And I make their knowledge foolish. Every demonic pronunciation against you that I said you cannot make it. All the tokens of liars. I frustrate them. I prophesy frustration against them this morning in the name of Jesus. In the words of Job chapter 5 and verse 12, I prophesy confusion in the camp of the enemy. I prophesy this morning, let even the Lord that maketh the heavens by himself, that stretched out the earth alone, heavens alone by himself, build the earth upon nothing, hangeth it upon nothing, and stretch the heavens out as a curtain to dwell in. I prophesy in his name, thus saith the Lord, let the devices of the wicked be frustrated. Let their hands be not able to perform any of their enterprise concerning you. I prophesy against the hands that have tried to cover that flame and your light. Glory to God. I prophesy against them. Let those hands be burnt and let the flame shine through in Jesus' name. Those are the hands of the devil. It's not human beings. I saw the hands. One time God showed me that. Try to cover your flame. Can't do it too. Praise God. I prophesy against the agreement of hell and death. I nullify them this morning. You know, many years ago, the Lord showed me the devil taking out a contract, you know, against the Lord's people. He took out a contract and he was trying to write it, and I was looking as he was trying to write it, but I couldn't see anything. I'm like, what in the world is going on? And I heard a voice that said, void! We are prohibited by law. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Every contract, every agreement with death, every contract with hell shall be disannulled. It is void. We are prohibited by God's law of liberty for you. Even here in the state of Arizona and in many states across this great country, you know, you can take out a contract, you can sign a contract, but there's an underlining premise under every contract. It is void. We are prohibited by law. You may sign it, but if the law of the land prohibits it, then it is void. Likewise, also, I say that everything that the enemy has taken out or tried to take out against you is void. Because of the blood of Jesus that covers you. Amen. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. And now, oh Lord, I got that fire out of my bones. I made that declaration to your people. Do that which you have said here, Lord, that said, I am the Lord that confirmeth the word of my servant and performeth my counsel. The counsel that I put in the mouth of my messengers. Do it, O Lord. Even as thy people go through the day to praise your name. And to rejoice in the beauty of holiness. From the womb of the morning, such as this, you have commanded the dew of you. The dew of heaven. I command and release the dew of heaven to everyone here this morning. In the name of Jesus. Just around the corner. But you must wait for it. You must tarry in praises. Tarrying in praises and tarrying in worshiping the Lord before the set time comes. There is a set time in his mind that he has appointed and he will do it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I thank you, Lord, for your word. Your word will catch up with the people because you have sent the word, and great is the company that's going to publish it and establish it in our lives. It will not return void. And so will God cause things to be lined up for you, to the intent that he might fulfill the words that you have heard today, that it might be fulfilled, that which the Lord has spoken in this room today, God will line things up and they will fall into place. For it is written, you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And all the trees of the field, in the words of Isaiah 55 and 12, shall be lined up to celebrate your success. They'll clap their hands for you. May God bless his word in your heart as you patiently wait for the Lord. Amen. In praising, not in grumbling. Don't take matters to your hands. The Lord has promised. And at the appointed time, he will show you what to do. For he has said in his word, in the words of Isaiah 48 and 17, I am the Lord that teaches you how to make profit. I will do it too. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I give you, Lord, all the praise. And I give you all the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. And amen.